Let us pray. Anoint my lips, O Lord, to faithfully proclaim your word. May your word be grafted into the very depths of our hearts and souls, for we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of advice has been written to business managers and leaders about how to handle the uncomfortable task of giving annual reviews to employees who need room for improvement. One helpful suggestion is when an employer needs to give constructive criticism, he or she start out by saying something positive about the employee, then give your constructive criticism, then end it with something positive. So positive criticism, positive. When we listen to our gospel lesson this morning, we might anticipate Jesus giving constructive criticism to John the Baptist because he questions whether Jesus is the Messiah or not. We may be bewildered by John the Baptist asking this question since he's the very one who rightly identified Jesus as Messiah. Why is he backpedaling and even asking this question of who Jesus is? But my sermon this morning will deal with how Jesus Christ deals graciously to John the Baptist. So my first point is the Lord deals graciously with John the Baptist as he struggles with doubt. We see the frail humanity of John that even though he was a faithful prophet of the Lord who correctly identified Jesus as Messiah, while he is imprisoned by Herod, John sends word through his disciples to Jesus as it is recorded in Matthew 11:3, are you the expected one or should we look for someone else? In a temporary moment of doubt, John the Baptist is asking the question to Jesus, are you really the one? Notice that our Lord's response to John is not one of shaming or rebuking John for doubting. There are varieties of doubt, which I will explain in a moment, but an important point needs to be made at the outset, that Jesus does not chide, condemn, or act in a heavy-handed way towards John in this moment of doubting. It's too easy for anyone to react to John's doubt, or anyone else's doubt, for that matter, in a harsh way. Like, what's your problem? Hasn't God done good things for you? Why do you doubt? On the one hand, we asked of John, don't you believe what you yourself had previously said about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? You said these things. Are you having questions about that now? Why are you backtracking and reversing yourself about what you yourself have said about Jesus? Let me now make a distinction between various types of doubt. I want to propose that the type of doubt that John is suffering from is a mild and temporary kind of doubt in which a person who is a genuine believer in Jesus but temporarily has questions about his faith in the Lord. He doesn't turn his back on God, but just has legitimate questions and concerns about some teaching of Holy Scripture, or in the case of John the Baptist, this basic question about the identity of Jesus. This type of doubt can be summarized by the statement, faith seeking understanding, or faith seeking clarification. Besides John the Baptist's temporary doubt about the identity of Jesus, we also have other examples of questioning in Scripture, such as Psalm 22:1-2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, I have no rest. These are the words and cry of the psalmist which find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus on the cross as he makes this his prayer to God. Since the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin, we must factor in that doubt may not necessarily be sin. Jesus Christ said these words, yet he did not sin in saying these words. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore the sin of the world on his shoulders, and he was truly abandoned by God the Father as he made atonement for our sins. And so not only are these words not sinful, but they are true and accurate statement about what Jesus was suffering at that very time on the cross. Also in the gospel, we hear the cry of a father of a demon-possessed child admit to Jesus in Mark 9:24, I do believe, Lord, help my unbelief. All these examples of doubt are continued faith in the Lord seeking understanding. No doubt there were other factors which contributed to and exacerbated John's doubt, such as being in solitary confinement. We all know that lacking social interaction has a negative impact on all of us and any of us. And it's not hard to figure out how a person being in prison by himself for some time would be negatively impacted their personal beliefs and knowledge. Obviously, doubt should not fall into skepticism, in which we turn ourselves against God and the teaching of his holy word. But in the case of John the Baptist, his temporary doubt did not turn into unbelief. And one good and noble step that John the Baptist actually took is that in his doubts, he went to Jesus. And he asked the question to Jesus through his disciples. Jesus does answer John's question by pointing to the miraculous wonders done by Jesus to demonstrate that he is the Messiah. And so he quotes from Isaiah 35, such acts done by Jesus, such as the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the gospel is preached to the poor. All of these demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ, and that's Jesus' answer to John the Baptist's question. He does not smash John. He does not snuff out his questions. He deals with him in mercy. And if misery loves comfort, we can take comfort from this. In our moment of doubt, we can go to Jesus, and Jesus will deal graciously with us as well. This brings me to my second point, which is that the Lord Jesus commends John the Baptist as a faithful prophet of the Lord. Matthew 11:7-11 says this, as these men were going, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and the one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Not only was our Lord Jesus Christ not heavy-handed toward John and his doubts, but he is commended by Jesus as being the last and greatest prophet of the Old Testament. This is quite a profound statement by Jesus that among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. John proved himself to be faithful in his calling as a prophet and forerunner who would prepare the way for Jesus as Messiah. John faithfully proclaimed God's word in season and out of season. He courageously proclaimed God's word when many in Israel were coming to him in droves to hear his message of repentance and preparation for Messiah. John also proclaimed God's word when many pivoted their attention from John toward Jesus. And at the tail end of John's public ministry, John acknowledged this fact about his ministry versus Jesus' ministry. Pointing to Jesus, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Later still in his ministry, after John had confronted Herod about his improper and unholy marriage with Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, John was in prison and then died a martyr's death. John had gone from the heights of public attention to the depths of deprivation in prison, and through it all, he remained faithful as God's messenger and prophet, and Jesus commends him for his faithfulness. Throughout it all, his message remained the same: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then in John 11, 12 through 15, we hear these words: "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." John indeed was the last in the line of Old Testament prophets foretelling the time of Messiah's arrival. John the Baptist was a contemporary of Christ who had the privilege in pointing to Jesus' identity within his lifetime. The recipients of John's kingdom message suffered violence in how they were persecuted, including John himself. And yet they received God's word with tenacious determination and bold faith. Jesus' last word about John in his passage is, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." May we truly hear, receive, and reform our lives according to John's message, and to give thanks to God for this faithful servant of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life and ministry of John the Baptist. We thank you that in your mercy and infinite wisdom, you know that we are frail and weak. Help us during our moments of doubt, that we may bring whatever perplexes us unto you in prayer. Help us to cling to your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but you will bring us to the time of eternal salvation. Help us always to cling to your faithfulness and goodness. For these things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.